Hello, and welcome to the broadcast for Sunday, the 20th of December, 2020. Again, we're having quite difficult times trying to get rid of coronavirus in the community, and a lot of things are not really working out well. And now we've got the news of Christmas, not being with family. I just hope and pray that you are able to bear this time and able to keep safe and to keep others safe too. Before we go any further, I just want to thank everybody that got involved in the nativity play and presentation by the young people last week. Thank you so much for the amazing things that you did, for those that got involved and the answers. It was just amazing. It was just absolutely brilliant. And I've had lots of emails and phone calls and people telling me how wonderful it is. And I just want to pass that on to everyone to say thank you for taking part and thank you for making it absolutely brilliant. Okay, before we go any further, we're going to play a little game where you're trying to guess what animal I am thinking of. So today there are six clues. So good luck. For 6 points, this animal has relatives called Bactrian and Dromedary. For 5 points, it has a very unusual shape. For 4 points, this animal has a third layer of an eyelid to protect its eyes from sand. For 3 points, this animal has a nickname called Ships of the Desert. Ships of the Desert. For 2 points, this animal stores water and food as fat on its body. And for 1 point, it has one or two humps on its back. So, did you guess that I was talking about camel? Yeah, if you did, well done. It's just for fun, but I hope you enjoyed that. Okay, so today we are talking about a rather difficult parable. It's the parable of the shrewd manager. Now, in this case, shrewd does not mean something bad. It's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean that somebody is cunning and always planning on how they can make schemes and get money on things out of other people. Shrewd in this case means someone who is streetwise, who uses common sense, and who really thinks clearly about the future and makes a plan of what they can do to prevent any problems now or to solve any problems that they are having. Another thing that's quite important is to understand the audience that Jesus was talking to. And for that, we have to go to the beginning of a whole group of parables that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to 3. The Bible says that Jesus was talking to tax collectors and other people that were seen as being sinners in the community. And he came and they would go and listen to Jesus' teaching. And this made the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complain that Jesus was associating with sinful people, even eating with them, which was really, really taboo. You couldn't eat with the sinners. But Jesus was happy to do this. So Jesus realized that there were two groups of people. There were his disciples and some of the crowd who were on his side. And then on the other side were people that were looking to find ways to discredit him and ways to make him look bad. And sometimes they would ask him questions. And these were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and other people in the crowd might have also been on their side. So Jesus was trying to show that it's okay. Sometimes it is it has to be okay to do bad things with good motives for the desired outcome. And this is when he told the story. So, in the story, we read from the Bible, and it says, now the parable that we're actually reading is in Luke chapter 16, verse 1 to 8. And it's the parable of the shrewd manager. Jesus told the story. There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's debtors, and he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use godly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Right, so quite a few different areas we need to look at. First, let's look at the characters. We have the master, the shrewd manager, and the people that owed the master things. So what the manager was in charge of is that the master had houses and land that he rented out to people, and the people paid him in the produce or the harvest that they got. So when the manager was managing, it wouldn't be sort of a difficult thing to understand that instead of charging people £10, sometimes he would add a bit extra so that he would have extra money in his pocket, and maybe he might charge the people that are renting the house or the land £12 instead of £10. So it would not be unusual for this manager to have been getting some extra money. Sometimes when people were renting a house or whatever, then sometimes interest was added on to the original amount. So in the same way, let's say you were renting a house for £10. If you fell behind with the money, you might be charged extra interest, so that now you have to pay £12 instead of 10. So there was some additional money here that we can see that the manager might have had access to, and some of that money would have gone into his pocket. So he doesn't look so far like a very honest man. But what he does is he puts the master in a position where he has no choice but to agree with what the manager has said, because people don't know that the manager has been fired and that he no longer has his job. So when he calls in all the people that owed the master money, they think he's still acting under the authority of the master, and that by reducing this debt, this is what the master has arranged. But he is doing it to carry favor. He is doing it to make sure that when he doesn't have a job, he still has somewhere to go, because these people are going to be so grateful that he's reduced the debt that they owe, that they will be happy to have him come and live with them, and they will help to make sure he's got some food to eat. So this is the part that Jesus commends. Jesus commends the fact that the manager thinks ahead And he's not cunning, because cunning makes it sound like a bad word, but he thinks ahead to the future, and he looks carefully at the resources he has, and he's true and realistic with himself. He says, I know that I can't dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. So he does like a self-assessment, which is always something good for us to do. He assesses where he is and what his abilities are. And he says, I have to do something really, really clever. And he does. He knows a way that he can get money and make friends and use his position to set up a good plan for himself later. So this manager is shrewd, which is like being quick-witted. He's clever, and he's aware of what's happening. He's aware of the sign of the times, just like we have to be aware of the sign of the times right now while we're in lockdown again. We have to be careful and to realize that it might be little things that are causing this virus to spread. So by being careful, we are being very clever and being streetwise, and we are making sure that the virus doesn't spread any further. So this is similar to the manager. He was aware of what was happening at the time, and he knew he had a plan of what he could do to make his life easier later on. So the manager is not a servant. He is a free and educated man. He's given a position of trust, and he's supposed to collect the rent from the people. But they pay him not in money. They pay the master not in money. They pay the master in the harvest that they get from the land, which is why one person was paying the master in oil and another one was paying the master in wheat. That was absolutely normal. So Jesus uses this story to tell people that sometimes it is okay if to do some bad things if our motives are right. So I can't think of a good example of when this would apply in our lives. But sometimes if we are helping someone in need, God might give us an idea to do something that might not be right. I'm not talking about stealing from the bakery to give somebody who is hungry. We should not steal. But there are other times sometimes that if we do something, if other people come and look at it, they'll say, oh, this person is doing the wrong thing. But it depends on what the motives are, why you are doing those things. And Jesus is highlighting this. So, as we said before, the manager might have had a chance to add extra money to the rent so that he got some money for his pocket. So maybe the manager is not such a horrible person, because maybe the money he reduces for people is the interest that he would have got. Or it could be that he had put the price of the rent up a bit so that he would have extra money in his pocket. And this was the money that he was removing for each of the people that owed the master money. But Jesus wants us to use our gifts, our goods, our resources in a way that will help other people. He is not encouraging us to be deceitful. He is not encouraging us to lie. He's not encouraging us to be dishonest. But he does want us to be aware and to be streetwise, and to make sure that we are making a plan for the future. So Jesus is sort of saying, be streetwise and smart and look after yourself. You must use your resources for the good of the people around you. Take opportunities. Don't just survive and live day by day. Take opportunities and make the best of your life. Don't hold back. So that's what he's encouraging us to do. Now, the master might have been quite happy with the manager, because when the manager asked everybody to reduce the amount of money they owe the master, it wasn't really going to break the bank for the manager, for the master. He wasn't going to lose so much money that he would now be broke. But the master says this manager was very, very clever, because it also improved the master's reputation. The people who had their money reduced, they would have thought maybe the master knew about this, and so they would have loved the master more. So we need to be careful to make sure that we are trying to seek the good of people around us. And sometimes that can be just the thing that justifies why we are doing things the way we're doing it, if we have the right motives. Maybe our actions might look wrong, but if we're doing them for the right reason, then God, Jesus would be happy with that. So when we look at this manager and what he does, it shows us that we have to be careful what our relationship with money is like. Even though we might have money, how do we use that money? Do we spend everything in one go? Do we use some of the money and use some of it to bless other people? Do we use money, or does money use us? Does money control us and make us do things that are impulsive and silly without planning ahead? Because if you are given £5 a week, that £5 should last you until the end of the week, or should last you until you get the next lot of money. You should not spend everything by Tuesday. You should make sure that that money lasts. And that's how we can use our resources in a wise way. And Jesus wants us to use our resources to benefit other people. So what resources do you have that you could use to be a blessing to other people? Because God has given us all gifts and talents and things that we're good at. I'm very good at knitting. So I make baby blankets, I make scarves, I make slippers and hats for people. And it really does bless them. So you need to think what resources you have that you can use to be a blessing to other people. And we need to make sure that money is not controlling us, that money is not sort of telling us what to do. Because to some degree, we do need to go to work, because that's where we get the money for all the things that are needed in the house. So it will be really, really difficult not to do without a job. But when we get the money for our job or for whatever work we're doing, or even if it's pocket money, does the money control us? Or do we control what we do with that money? Ideally, you should make sure that when you get any money, you put some money aside for later on, like in a savings account or something like that, where it will gain interest. Or you make sure that you don't spend all of the money, that there has to be some money that you can use to help other people. So, in what way is God challenging you to change how you handle your resources? Whether those resources are money or your friends or other people that love and support you. Whatever you are doing, you must make sure that you use those resources so that you are the best person that you can be. And we also should ask ourselves what we can do with those resources to help other people that are in need. Think about that as you go into this Christmas week. Think about that as you're sitting down to enjoy. Think about what you can do to help other people that might not have their families around them, or might not be able to go places that they had wanted to go. And God is so good. He wants you to use wisdom. And that is one of the reasons for this story, to show us that we can be shrewd. We have to be shrewd. The Bible even says there that we should be more shrewd than the people of this world, than that people of God should use all the resources that He makes available to them. And if we do that, we cannot fail. We will succeed every time. I hope that parable, which is quite a difficult one, as I said, sort of helps you to make the best of your situation and to make the most of your life and all the resources that God entrusts into your hand. God bless you and do take care. Have a wonderful and lovely Christmas. Bye.